Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, January 2nd, 2017. The first vice president urges armed youth in Yei River County to join the National Army.
We want the new year, 2017, be a year of peace. Start with yourself from your home. Start with your wife, your children.
And South Sudanese call on their leaders to restore peace on this day of peace.
What I would like to see, that guns must be silenced, because that's the only thing that is disturbing people. This killing all around is the one that people are talking throughout.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan First Vice President Taban Dengai is urging armed men in Yei River County trying to topple the federal government to lay down their weapons and report to their cantonment areas so they can be integrated into the National Army and stop the deadly violence in the area. Tito Justin has more for VOA from Juba.
In Taban Dengai's first visit to Yei, the first vice president reassured the residents of the government's commitment to restoring peace in Yei River State and across the country. Speaking in Arabic at Yei Freedom Square, he urged the residents to rally behind him and President Salva Kiir and told the armed youth that this is a chance for them to be employed by the government as soldiers.
You have government working in Juba. Your parliament is working. I'm telling you, help Salva Kiir, help me and help Wani Iga so that our children in the bush can go to the cantonment sites. Before, they were saying they don't have Equatorians in the army, they don't have Equatorians in the national security, and they don't have Equatorians in the police. This is now a chance for the people. Go to the cantonment sites so that you are integrated.
Guy also asked the people of Yei to forget the past and start the process of national dialogue, healing, and reconciliation to build a trust among different communities.
We want the new year, 2017,
be a year of peace. Start with yourself from your home. Start with your wife, your children, and then with your friends or someone next related to you. If there is any person you are annoyed of, say, my brother, my sister, my friend, I was annoyed with you, but now, because of the new year, I have forgiven you.
Last week, one area resident said he and many others are still hiding in the bush because it's not safe. For months, Yei River State was a battleground for government forces and militia groups. Guy says the government regrets reports that government soldiers have mistreated civilians and says he has ordered government forces deployed in the area to respect the rights of the civilians.
Civilians are like your wife, near you. They brought you and your friends. Civilians are the one that brought for us this country. Now they are saying they are happy during the time of the fighting with Khartoum government than us. When we are protecting this country, this problem must stop. We want to hear from Juba that civilians here are happy.
Residents say they welcome the first vice president's visit and hope local leaders are honest with the guy about conditions in Yei.
The leaders should give him exactly what was happening in Yei so that he goes and does exactly what is needed, other than telling him what is of your interest to serve your need. Tell him what the people of Yei expect to be done. Currently, at this moment, is we need security. Because once there's security, peace prevails. Because there's no peace without security. We need security. And we need also the roads to be open so that we can access our fathers who are caught up in the villages.
I'm very grateful for his coming. And his message is a message of encouragement. It's a message of hope. And I look forward and I hope that we will be able together, we'll be able to translate that into action. It should bring a positive change And I hope that also the national government and those who are having arms will take it positively, and they will change and come together in the spirit of brotherhood, in the spirit of sisterhood, in the spirit of nationhood.
During the fighting over the past 5 months, hundreds of thousands of Yei River State villagers fled their homes and have sought refuge in neighboring Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, according to the United Nations. Joining Guy on his trip to Yei River State was Defense Minister Col Manyang Duke and Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Ilia Lumuro, among other government officials. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
A South Sudanese activist musician who escaped violence in Yei River State last year says state officials are responsible for the insecurity in Yei Town and the surrounding villages. Lupai Moses says he escaped from Yei because state authorities wanted to arrest him for his advocacy work with the local community in Yei Town. Moses says instead of threatening to arrest people, authorities should reach out to local youth who have taken up arms. He tells my colleague John Tanza that he will continue to advocate for peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese living in Ugandan refugee camps.
I do a lot of advocacy on sensitive issues, more special issues that affect our communities. So in advocating for that, it landed me into so many suspicion that I have been leveled a commanding officer for IO in Yei, and my life was in danger. That's why I managed to escape.
Give me an example of one of the sensitive issues that you've been advocating for in Yei that might have caused you a lot of problems.
More special, the political challenges in Yei, that many youths were arrested. So when we talk about that, then we become an enemy to the state government.
And who were the people who were trying to arrest you? Do you know them?
That one I can't talk on that because you know. That one I cannot talk direct. But I have information. I have audio recording that shows that I am about to be arrested.
But in South Sudan, you only have the police, the intelligence, the national security, the military intelligence. These are the people who are normally arresting people. What kind of people were looking for you in here? Are these ordinary people? Was it just rumors?
I have, as I said, I have information, but Tanja, I can't touch that. You know, people have been arresting people, most especially those security operatives.
And when you arrived in Kampala, what was life like for you? I know that this is not your country.
I have no option. It is a matter of choice between life and death. I have to cope up with the situation that we are in and keep on moving as I also prepare to advocate for a peace and reconciliation among communities in South Sudan.
When we hear about life in Yei, we were hearing all kind of stories. There were stories about extrajudicial killing. There were stories about people being forced from their villages. Did you witness some of these things happening to people in Yei?
I cannot say much on that because you already seen a lot of reports coming from Yei. But me, I can say that the situation in Yei would have not gone to that extent if the state government was realistically, but they just let the situation worsen.
What do you mean if the state government was realistically? I don't understand that. Could you explain?
It is very simple. Dialogue and using a promoted peace language, not calling them tips. We will crush them. We have got new guns. Those are the languages that have been used. And so far, it has not achieved any tangible meaning.
This sounds a little bit strange to me. When you say, we have bought new guns, we will crush them, who was saying these words?
Of course, the state government is responsible for that. Yeah. It is no more a secret. It has been happening. If you go around and ask any youth in Yei or anybody who came from Yei, he will tell you the same story.
Now that you are here in Kampala, what is your next move? What are you intending to do?
I have already started the call for peace and reconciliation, healing among our communities. I have started visiting camps. I want to give them hope because they really lost hope. People are suffering in the camps, but this is not the end of the journey. We have to move together. I have to restore hope through music and art.
That's Lupai Moses, a South Sudanese activist and musician. He was speaking to John Tanza in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, over the weekend. South Sudanese are calling on the country's leaders to restore peace across the country this year. During New Year celebrations in the Imatong state capital, Torit, many residents said they have suffered for far too long and want their leaders to end the violence, which has forced hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese into refugee camps. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelo reports from Torit.
Hundreds of Christians sang hymns as they prayed for blessings in the new year at Our Lady of the Holy Rosary yesterday in Torit. Some parishioners say 2016 was an extremely difficult year because hunger and violence forced tens of thousands to flee the country. They also say the deteriorating economy made living conditions unbearable. But many also say they are hopeful that in 2017 the country's leaders will learn to resolve their difference peacefully. One of them, Historic resident Margaret Idua.
What I would like to see, that guns must be silenced, because that's the only thing that is disturbing people. This killing all around is the one that people are talking throughout. And I hope that 2017 may bring peace and happiness.
Another Torit resident, William Wani, agrees.
We need peace dialogues between those who are in the bush and those who are in the town, like the government and the rebels. We need actually peace. People are crying for peace, peace, peace. We are not seeing the peace. But this year, 2017, we are crying as the Christian, actually. We need the peace to become in South Sudan, actually, especially in our area, in Eastern Equatorial State, whereby we are not seeing peace. Now, most of the people, they leave the country because of the war.
Idua says she too wants to see better living conditions for her family and others in Imatong State.
I see forward that may something big happen to my family this year that can take me forward, that can take me to help the people of South Sudan. And especially the most thing which is touching my family is always our children that are roaming around.
Resident Lillian Flora says she feels blessed to have reached the new year, considering so many South Sudanese died in 2016. Flora says in this 2017, she needs peace only, nothing else. She says she's happy that she is in a new day and a new year. Torit resident Gildo Butrus is also thankful to be alive, but says peace must come in 2017.
In actual sense, I'm not happy. I will only be happy when I see peace actually is actually realized by everybody in South Sudan. Otherwise, peace is the first priority and other things will just come automatically.
Father Noel Ogwogu, who officiated over New Year's Day Mass at Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, says nothing has changed in South Sudan on this first day of the year, but says South Sudanese leaders and citizens must change their attitudes. Quoting Pope Francis' message on New Year's, traditionally known as the Day of Peace, Ogwogu asked for God's blessing on South Sudan and urged its leaders to restore peace in the country.
Holy Father is telling us in our politics to adopt the political style of non-violence. That is the message of the Pope today, World Day of the Political Style of Non-Violence. It means there are different styles of politics. There is political style of corrupt and I corrupt. There is political style of thief I thief. There is political style of kill, I kill, but the Holy Father has condemned all that.
And Father Ogwogu urges all South Sudanese to strive to put their country back together in 2017. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. President Kiir says he wants to bring peace and stability to the country in 2017. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what can leaders do to stop the flow of migrants from Africa to Europe?
I think the best thing that leaders should do is to improve the economic situations, make sure that young people have jobs so that they are not attracted to greener pastures outside their countries.
The cardinal reason why people migrate from African countries, those developed countries, is the increased corruption in their countries. Yeah, if governments try to fight corruption within the country, that means service delivery will be consequent.
Living in Africa sometimes is a little bit challenging. So if leaders could provide amenities like the European countries, then people may not want to migrate.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. President Kiir has said he wants to bring peace and stability to the country this year, after 3 years of deadly fighting. Mohamed Yusuf takes a closer look at the president's recently launched national dialogue.
South Sudan ended 2016 with more clashes between government forces and opposition fighters allied to Riek Machar. As officials tried to put together a team to lead the national dialogue, tension remains high in the countryside, and clashes are a common occurrence. A senior member of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, Peter Adwok Nyaba, says the country's future lies in implementing the peace agreement that President Salva Kiir and Machar signed in August 2015.
The peace agreement was an opportunity to return stability and sanity to the people of South Sudan. Unfortunately, it is Salva himself who abrogated this peace agreement by attacking and chasing the chairman of SPLM, SPLAIO, all the way to Congo, and started military operations against our people.
South Sudan descended into chaos in December 2013 after Kiir accused his former deputy Machar of planning to overthrow the government. Civil war broke out when soldiers from Kiir's Dinka tribe and Machar's Nuer tribe started targeting each other. The peace deal signed in Addis Ababa was an attempt to end the fighting. The two sides formed a transitional unity government and agreed to a ceasefire. But last July, new violence flared in Juba, killing hundreds of people. The clashes led to Machar fleeing the country. The three-year war has now forced more than 2 million people from their homes and claimed the lives of tens of thousands of South Sudanese. Kiir launched a national dialogue in mid-December, calling for his countrymen to participate in the talks. But opposition members have expressed fear the environment is not favourable for negotiations. Deputy Information Minister Akol Paul Kodet disagrees.
We as a government strongly believe the environment is conducive for dialogue, but should any other South Sudanese think that the environment is not conducive for dialogue, let him also or her come forward and tell us why does he think or she thinks that the environment is not conducive for dialogue, and what does she or he think should be done to make the environment conducive. So this is the essence of dialogue. We shall dialogue over every step, over every issue of concern in our country.
Researcher and policy analyst with SOD Institute, Hial Timmermans, says there is no political will to end the crisis.
People in South Sudan actually want peace, but this peace is seen as not having that wide acceptance. And so that's why you see it is struggling. It's difficult to be implemented because of the fact that all the parties are not embracing it. And the society as a whole, they want peace, but not in the way this peace was designed.
Opposition leader Machar is currently in South Africa, and there has been no indication when or if he may return. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
South Sudan's crippling humanitarian and security crisis, along with its economic woes, made 2016 one of the most difficult years South Sudanese have faced since gaining independence 5 years ago. Agostino Ting Mayai, director of research at the Juba-based Sud Institute, says President Kiir's national dialogue could help improve conditions this next year if and only if citizens are given a real chance to take part in the talks.
If you think of the violence that broke out in July this year, there has been quite a bit of a discussion about the peace agreement that preceded the violence and how it handled a number of issues, especially the security arrangement. And so that violence breaking out was an indication that the agreement is as it wanted. That has basically resuscitated the need to discuss how to reframe the agreement so that it's more effective. On the national dialogue, as the country seems to be breaking apart, as there has been a lot in the news media about ethnic targeting on the highways, this to many people seems to be an opportunity to not address just political grievances, but also other grievances, such as communal grievances at the community levels. And so those two have raised quite a bit of interest in how to deal with the conflict in South Sudan. And so the debate that continues right now.
Now, as you mentioned, this was a consequential year for South Sudan. But what are the prospects of the country getting back on its feet in 2017?
I know there have been a lot of people questioning the national dialogue, how it has been framed, and who is going to lead it or the patron of it. But I think for South Sudanese, that's the opportunity for them to regain peace and have stability. And what I would suggest is that there is need, instead of dropping the whole thing as worthless, South Sudanese need to get together and come up with the better ways to make this dialogue workable and to make it effective in realizing peace in the country. But most important, there has to be stability, and that has to come from us realizing that we need to talk, discuss our issues, and agree on how to resolve them. And the national dialogue is that obvious.
There's a change in leadership here in Washington as President Barack Obama gets ready to hand over power to President-elect Trump, and not to mention the power change at the United Nations as well as the African Union. How big of an impact will these transitions of power have on South Sudan?
Well, again, I don't really, I am not a big fan of Donald Trump, but quite honestly, there seems to be a window of opportunity for South Sudanese and their political leaders to make a case about peace in their country. It seems that if our diplomats have gone ahead and started to have some relations with the Trump administration, which is coming in very soon. And what I'm seeing is that the relationship seems to be going okay. And as a result, if the leadership of Washington decides to engage political leaders in South Sudan and provide them with, say, resources that are needed for reconciliation, I think there is an opportunity there. So somewhat, I am hopeful that the new leadership might actually provide needed support for reconciliation and peace in South Sudan, regardless of how I feel about the new leader in the country. So there seems to be an opportunity, and people are talking about it here in Nairobi, in Juba, and elsewhere, about how the Trump administration might be of help to the South Sudanese in their political problems.
That's Agostino Ting Mayai, director of research at the Sud Institute. He was speaking to me from Nairobi last week. Uganda's government plans to open up a new South Sudanese refugee camp in the new year, given the surge in refugee numbers. Aid agencies, on the other hand, are devising new approaches to refugee assistance, while the refugees call for improved social amenities. Catherine Nambi has the details.
The situation of South Sudan refugees in Uganda remains unpredictable.
even when it was thought that the restive situation in Africa's youngest country would have returned to normalcy by the year 2017. South Sudan refugees continue trickling into Uganda in search of shelter and protection. Uganda's Office of the Prime Minister, OPM, that is charged with refugee affairs, indicates that most of the refugee settlements are currently full to capacity, yet new refugees are recorded daily. Fred Buzu, a community service officer in Uganda's OPM, says plans are underway to open up a new settlement camp come 2017.
At the moment, we have two settlements that are receiving refugees. That is Rhino Camp Refugee Settlement, receiving new arrivals. We have expanded our operations. BDBD is still receiving, and it has exceeded its capacity. So we are soon closing receiving refugees in the BDBD Refugee Settlement. At the moment, we have over 250,000 refugees in the BDBD Refugee Settlement. The initial planning was for 150 refugees, but now this has been exceeded. So we are planning to open another refugee settlement in Moyo District. So either this week or next week, we will start receiving refugees from the other side of Moyo.
To the refugee aid agencies, the overwhelming number of the South Sudan refugees has exerted pressure on the food aid, with some contemplating new approaches towards supporting the refugees. Simon Ogwang, a UNHCR protection officer, says they are waiting for Uganda government approval to roll out a program of converting refugee food assistance into cash to better refugees' livelihood.
It is still a matter under discussion, the issue of conversion of refugee food assistance into cash, because the government of Uganda is not satisfied, and it is still yet to be concluded. I hope this matter gets resolved before we undertake 2017.
But as the government of Uganda and refugee agencies plan for 2017, the refugees, on the other hand, are calling for improvement in the social amenities, especially the health facilities. Samuel Tolit, one of the refugees, narrated to me his ordeal with a sick child in the camps before calling for an immediate solution to health care in the camps come next year.
When I came here, I was fostered a child with World Vision, and the child is 6 years old. And when I was taken to the zone where we are supposed to be located, I found that things were worse with the girl. She falls sick. When she falls sick, I had to rush her all along from that far up to here walking, getting here almost midnight. And this is what I can see as if it is something that is very, very, you know, affecting the refugees here. If it is arranged in the sense that at least if there's a camp that people are taken in, then they take the medication, and they take the issues, the serious kind of issues like the sickness things, I think it would be better.
The number of South Sudan refugees entering Uganda is expected to continue growing come next year, as the situation in their country still remains tense. Currently, 25,000 new South Sudan refugees are recorded at different border points into Uganda, with little or no signs of the number reducing in the near future. Uganda is host to about 800,000 South Sudan refugees, many of whom have entered the country fleeing the recent violence that broke out between forces loyal to President Salva Kiir and his then Vice President, Riek Machar. For VOA, this is Catherine Nambi reporting from Kampala, Uganda.
That's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Bakutu by Wise DG. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.